let's imagine with me, okay? I need some imagination. You have a friend. Her name is called Paula. I assume there's no Paula among us. After finishing her degree in education, she started teaching in an elementary school in Richmond, some school. 10 years ago, Paula and Henry got married. And now they have two kids, age 7 and 5. So you can imagine it as a typical family, you know, young family. They live happily, normally, until last September. Paula had her regular annual checkup, and something unusual has been discovered. And after a series of medical testing, the report came back right after Christmas. It was a type of advanced gastric cancer, a disease in which the cancer cells form in the lining of the stomach. I don't know whether you have heard about that. An oncologist told Paula, very seriously, the situation is not optimistic. And if nothing is done, Paula, your life may end in just 6 months. What? 6 months? 182 days? Imagine you were with Paula at that doctor's office that afternoon. I'm sure none of us would expect the news, right? 6 months only? What are we going to do? After that doctor's appointment, Paula took a medical leave and started different types of treatments, chemo, radiotherapy, and as long as it may be helpful or just give her a chance, she would be open to try. Paula said, I'm only 35, and my kids are not even 10 years old. I can't leave them behind. And what about Henry? Henry, right? My better half. We still have so many plans and dreams. And we are supposed to celebrate our 10th anniversary this September 2023. But now, I don't know. Just a few weeks ago, we just passed Easter, right? So just a few weeks ago, Paula passed by a local church, not this one, maybe some other churches, and saw a huge poster about an Easter egg hunt, right? Well, we had, Kapos had that last week. And then she suddenly remembered, hey, many Easters ago, I was also one of those egg hunt. She was at a Sunday school class in another church, and wow, life was much more simple, joyful, and bright back then. At that time, Easter, Jesus, Christmas were just like Disney movies or Disney characters. They're all interesting, but I have nothing to do with them, Paula said. But at this counting down moment, Paula had a different thought. What if this Easter story is true? And if this Easter story is true, do you think I can get this help from the above? And if Jesus is real, will he ever help me at my situation? So Paula decided to try church again. So at this very evening, April 15, 2023, Paula comes to Koinonia. After she enters fireside room, she finds a corner at the very back and sit by herself. After praise and worship, the speaker comes out and started preaching the 11th chapter of John's Gospel in the New Testament. At the beginning of this chapter, we quickly notice we got a situation. Jesus received an SOS event from his friend Mary and Martha. You may have heard about them. It was about Lazarus, which is their brother. Lord, he whom you love is ill. Lazarus is sick. We don't know what kind of disease he had, but it seems serious, right? And then after 2 days, Jesus told the disciples, let us go south to Judea again. And the disciples asked, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. That is in the middle of the John Gospel. So the tension has been built up. So Jesus received a lot of opposition already. So the disciple asked, are you going there again? You know, that is not probably not a smart thing to do now, Jesus. And then Jesus, the master, replied with a parable. Jesus always, you know, didn't tell you yes or no yet, but he gave you a parable. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walk in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. So by returning to Judea, that is what Jesus' plan is, right? Jesus is telling the disciples that he's doing God's will. He's walking in the light, and he is walking in the light, and whoever walking in the light cannot be wrong if we or whoever following God's will. So right after this parable, Jesus actually broke the news. Well, definitely Jesus did not receive it from his email or whatever, right? But he knew. The disciples did not. Lazarus has died. I don't know what the situation is, but definitely this is not a good news. And the disciples say, oh, what? I thought he was sick only, right? But now things change in just a few days. So after all the traveling, so they decided to go back to Judea, right? Jesus arrived at Bethany, and Bethany actually is just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And Lazarus has been in the tomb, the Bible said, for 4 days. Well, 4 days in our definition, okay. Well, if it is in the funeral home with the freezer or whatever, right? So it should be okay. But think about 2,000 years ago. Dead bodies did not undergo any embalming at the time. They don't have that technology yet. So by 4 days, you can imagine the body will start to decompose already, right? So at that time, when Jesus arrived at the village, Bethany, Martha heard that Jesus just arrived. You remember Martha and Mary, right? So Martha slipped out of the house, and then she met Jesus, right, in the outside of the village. Think about that situation when Martha met Jesus. They were good friends, but at that time, something happened, right? Martha burst into tears, and then she told Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't know what kind of expression, you know, she's probably not blaming Jesus because Jesus is well expected, and she didn't expect Jesus to come anytime. But I'm sure there was a sense of regret. Hey, Jesus, if you had been here earlier, 4 days, only 4 days, you would have healed. I know that you can do it. You can heal my brother, and he would not have died. But now, too bad. It's too late. At this difficult moment, Jesus told Martha, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Well, Mary gave an interesting reply. Well, I know we Jewish people all know that Lazarus will rise again. Because on the last day, all dead people, according to our culture, our teaching, Lazarus, our grandfather, or our great grandfather, all of them will rise again. I know about that. But Jesus, I don't think I need this theology answer at this moment. That's what Martha tried to reply. Then Jesus introduced a twist in their conversation. He turned Martha's attention away from this mourning moment and toward Jesus himself. Jesus declared in verse 25 to 26 here, I am the resurrection and the life. This is very famous. You probably heard about that. Actually, in the Gospel of John, Jesus has seven important declarations. All start with I am. So this is one of them. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he will experience the physical death, just like Lazarus, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, they shall never face the final death, the eternal separation between man and God, and they will have eternal life. Eternal life. Then he looked straight at Mary, or Martha, actually. He looked straight at Martha. Mary will come later. Martha, do you believe in that? Martha, do you believe in this? I want you to believe something more. Not just some general fact that everyone will be raised from the dead in the last day. This is like all Jewish people know that. Today, I want you, Martha, to believe that I, Jesus, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And Martha, I am the resurrection. Death is not the final word. The one who dies will live. And there's resurrection after death. Martha, remember, I am the life. I am the giver of the eternal life. Whoever believes in me may yet pass through physical death, but they will receive eternal life. Martha, apart from me, there's no resurrection. Apart from me, there is no life. So here, Jesus is encouraging Martha to believe in something more than just a general idea about the resurrection in the last day. Jesus is asking Martha to extend her faith to a deeper trust in Jesus as the only giver of life. And then Martha went and called Mary because, wow, this is something important, right? So, sister, come. Hey, the teacher is here and is calling you. I don't know whether it's true or not, but that's what Martha communicated with Mary. And then Mary rose quickly and went to Jesus. And when Mary saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and uttered the same words just as Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here earlier, 4 days ago, my brother would not have died. How I wish that you came earlier. I know you would heal my brother, but too bad. Everything is just too late. And when Jesus saw Mary's weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. And for deeply moved, if you have your ESV Bible, actually, ESV also have a footnote. Jesus was indignant. Jesus was angry as well. And then in 11:35, verse 35, came the famous verse. If you want to memorize a verse, this is the one, right? You heard about that, right? Which is the shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. Facing a situation full of sadness, Jesus was not oblivious. The Son of God shed tears. The Son of God was deeply moved. The Son of God was indignant. And also, the Son of God shed tears himself. See, seldom we see this kind of picture in the Bible, right? In Kapos, we always see Jesus was welcoming children, maybe, or Jesus was eating with sinners all the time, right? But here, we see a weeping Jesus, or even an outraged Jesus, actually. So why was Jesus weeping? And why was Jesus, the Son of God, outraged? Jesus was outraged because of death itself. Jesus was outraged because of death itself. That is not the way God made the creation in the first place. If you remember in Genesis, in the beginning, there's no death. Suppose people can live forever, but because of sin, other things, you know, things turn sour. Jesus is outraged here because by the death that caused so much sadness, so much separation, so much emotion in this situation to Martha, to Mary, for the whole village. And in verse 38, when Jesus came to the tomb, finally, this is the moment, which is the cave, he ordered to have the stone at the entrance to be taken away. And then in verse 41, he prayed to God, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Then we come to the climax of the story, the miracle moment. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. The man came out bound with linen strip, face wrapped with a cloth. This is how body was wrapped 2,000 years ago. And for Martha, for Mary, and for all those in the village of Bethany at the cave, a miracle is happening right in front of their very eye. They saw something they never seen before. Lazarus is back. Death has lost its grip on our life because Jesus is the life and resurrection. Death has lost its grip on our life because Jesus is life and resurrection. If you were like Paula, perhaps you are going through a tough situation in life. Or perhaps you have your own version of 182 counting down. Or perhaps you're Henry. Your loved one is going through a torture like 182. How would you respond to Jesus' declaration? I am the life and the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, even though he or she may go through the physical death, but Jesus has promised, if you who believe in him, death has lost its grip on you, and you will receive the greatest gift, the eternal life. That has lost his grip because Jesus already made a difference. And facing this 182 days of countdown, we know that death is the enemy. And sometimes we often think that it's a champion too, right? Seems like death is always winning. But Jesus declares something different. Death has lost its grip on our life because Jesus declared he is the life and the resurrection already. And death does not have the final word on us. Never. Because Jesus is the source of life. Jesus has the power to bring people back to life. Our life in him is secure. And with this hope, we can live differently. Even though our life is limited, we can live differently. But perhaps you may argue hey, I'm not Paula. I'm not in any countdown mode, not 182 or whatever, right? But let me ask you, can any one of us know exactly when your life ends? Or maybe 65 years old, or maybe 85, or it could be 25. No one can predict how long our life are going to be. And actually, 182 for me or for us is only an abstract number. No one can really predict if we really have 182 days left in life. As I prepare this message, I remember my own mom. 7 years ago, she was admitted to the emergency the day after Thanksgiving in October because of AML, the acute leukemia. And as I look back, only 39 days only after that, she passed away in November 20th. I remember a brother called Victor Wong. He's my former boss in Toronto. He was having his morning jog, as usual, 7:30 in the morning. But unfortunately, he was hit by a car. And when we received a phone call from his family, all we know is that he was certified. And he was only 45 years old, much younger than who I am now. And I won't forget March 2016, when I received a phone call from the Children's Hospital, BC Children's Hospital, on a Friday afternoon. I remember I was preparing a sermon for that weekend. They told me my son Caleb, who was only 15 back then, he had a bike accident. And at the time, he was in the trauma room of the BC Children's Hospital. And I asked, what is trauma room? And I remember I was driving from Richmond to the hospital. It took probably half an hour because it was a Friday afternoon. Driving along Oak Street seems forever. All the what if came to my mind. You can imagine. And all I could do at that car ride was asking God for mercy, asking God to spare his life. We all have limited time on earth. And after listening to the story of Lazarus this evening, how are we and how are you going to live your life? Death has lost its grip on our life because Jesus is the life and resurrection. To the Paula among us this evening, just like 2,000 years ago, Jesus has extended an invitation to you. Jesus said, he is the true giver of life. He is the resurrection. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is available to you, to us this evening. Are you ready to receive it? Are you ready? Let's stand, and I'll give you a moment of reflection before we pray together. Jesus, we declare that at this moment, that you are the true giver of life. You have already defeated death, so that death has lost its grip on our life. I pray for those who has been touched by your story, what you have done in the Gospel of John this evening. I pray that your still small voice will continue to speak in our heart. Lord Jesus, give us courage to cross the line of faith so that we'll receive the greatest gift that only you can offer, the eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.